G'day guys, welcome to this week's UK Wine Show. My name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Jane Scott.
Hi everyone.
Together we are the hosts of the UK Wine Show, the world's first wine podcast, going since 2006, almost 20 years coming up. This week we thought we would do a Christmas special, just something a bit different for us. We are currently travelling, so we recorded this a week ago and we're hoping that it will be good fun. The idea is, usually in the podcast, every week I ask a Patreon flashcard question and I normally get Jane to answer it. This week the tables are turned.
Yep, I'm going to be asking Chris a number of questions from our flashcard deck, level 3 deck, randomised just to see how good his knowledge is.
And the nice thing about that is you guys can answer along at home. We'll give you time to answer before we give an answer ourselves.
Cool. So, Chris, let's get started. So, Chris, today we're playing the Christmas Wine Off, a WSET Level 3 style Chris with a festive twist.
Yeah, nothing says Christmas like the tannins and Nebbiolo.
Exactly. We'll have three rounds, each with questions pulled at random from our WSET Level 3 Patreon flashcards. And yes, I've bought jingle bells for when you get something wrong.
Great, I'm looking forward to that. Do you know what? There's something I really look forward to every year is the music in the supermarkets, starting around August.
So, Chris, are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready and steady.
Good. Question one. This is a fill-in-the-blanks question. So, Chris, Riesling and Cabernet Sauvignon are both examples of different blank of the same blank.
Oh, okay. They are different varieties of the same species, Vitis vinifera.
Correct.
Is that exactly right? Or?
Yeah, you've added a little bit of extra detail, but that's fine.
Okay, cool.
So question two, how do Merlot's budding and ripening times compare to Cabernet Sauvignon's? I'm looking for a short answer.
Okay, so compared to Cabernet Sauvignon, we know that Cabernet Sauvignon struggles to ripen in Bordeaux. And I imagine that Merlot will bud earlier and ripen earlier than Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Merlot buds and ripens earlier. Well done. Yeah,
makes sense because it's easy to ripen it on cold clay in Bordeaux, whereas you need gravel to help ripen it, to help ripen Cabernet Sauvignon, which provides a bit of heat.
Bonus points, Chris. So question three, bit trickier this one. Which three Napa Valley AVAs from the level 3 specification are renowned for making premium Cabernet Sauvignon?
Oh, okay, that's not too bad. So I can tell you that Los Caneros and Calistoga are not.
Correct.
Yeah, I saw you
going for the jingle bells.
Which means that the others that are in the specification are things like Oakville, Rutherford, I think Stag's Leap is in there as well.
Absolutely correct. You've got all three. Stag's Leap, Oakville and Rutherford.
Nice.
Doing well, Chris, doing well.
Yep. See, Los Caneros is too cold, it's got Pinot Noir, and Calistoga is right at the end of the valley, very warm, Zinfandel.
Okay, next up, which grape varieties from the Level 3 specification are grown in Tasmania? I want red and white.
In Tasmania, really in the specification, it's really only about sparkling wines, so that would be Pinot Noir and Chardonnay.
Those are two of the grape varieties, Chris, but I'm looking for two reds and I'm looking for two white grape varieties.
Okay. And if it's two reds and two whites, then it would be Pinot Noir, definitely. Chardonnay, definitely. Another cool climate red. I would struggle with that. I'm struggling. I think they would... Well, it's Australia, so they'll probably go for Syrah no matter what. No, let me finish before you push your thing. And I would also, because it's fairly cool down there, I'd probably go for Riesling as well. What do we got?
Chris, you're 50% correct. You got the Pinot Noir for the red, but the other red grape variety is Cabernet Sauvignon.
I'm surprised by that.
Yes, this is according to our flashcards.
Yeah, yeah.
And then with white grapes, you were correct in saying Chardonnay, but the other white grape is Sauvignon Blanc Tasmania.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. When I think about Tasmania, I only think about it from a sparkling wine point of view, not a still wine point of view, which is probably why I struggled a bit.
Okay, and the last question in this round, which four noble grape varieties can be used for Vendange Tardive, or VT, and Selection de Grand Noble, SGN wines?
Oh, that's easy, because I've been just talking about these under aromatics. So Vendange Tardive and Selection de Grand Noble are both standards that are only used in Alsace, and therefore they're the four noble grape varieties from Alsace, and you're looking at Riesling, Gewürztraminer, Muscat, particularly Muscat de Petit Grands, but Muscat Otonel is included in there. And then finally, the last one is, did I go Riesling, Gewürz, Muscat, and oh my God, it is...
Well, look, you've got three out of four.
No, I'll get it. I'll just give me a second.
Come on, Chris. Time's running out.
No, you didn't say there's any time limit. it's not an aromatic grape variety. It is... Pinot Gris.
Correct. Woohoo!
Yeah, I was thinking aromatics. The other noble is not an aromatic.
So, Chris, that's the end of round one, and you scored a very respectable 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. I better improve that.
I think Tasmania just tripped you up a little bit there. So, like a solid Cru Bourgeois, but you're aiming for a more of a Grand Cru Classé, maybe?
Yeah, more like a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc for me.
Okay, before we go to round two, a quick Christmas wine tip for you. So listeners, if you're serving sparkling wine at Christmas, please don't chill it to Arctic temperatures.
Sparkling wines are normally well chilled, but you're right, not too much. And if it's a vintage champagne or something like that, normally you have it a little bit warmer than well chilled.
Yeah, a bottle pulled straight from the freezer tastes like, well, nothing pretty much. So really, just whack it in there for half an hour if you haven't chilled it. Pull it out after that. We don't want it too cold.
Although, to be fair, you shouldn't really be putting it in the freezer. Just get organised. Put it in the fridge the night before. Or in this weather, leave it outside.
Right, let's get on to round two. The Slay My Wine Knowledge round. And this one is all about winemaking, Chris.
Okay.
So question one, give us three ways of stopping fermentation.
Fortification, that's easy. You can do sterile filtration. Normally you'll chill the wine down, which slows the fermentation, then run it through a sterile filtration. And then the third way, which I don't really agree with, is sulfur dioxide. If the alcohol levels are high and the yeast is under stress, high dosage of sulfur dioxide will kill it. But it's not as effective as the other two, that's for sure.
Cool. Chris, did you actually write these flashcards or something?
Yeah, but about 6 years ago.
You're doing pretty well so far. Okay, question two. In New Zealand, stainless steel is primarily used for premium aromatic white wines because...
It's inert. That's the key thing. It's inert and it's temperature controlled. They're the two main things. So aromatic white wines, you want to ferment at quite a low temperature. So you need temperature control for that. And you don't want any oxidation getting in there because oxidation destroys the aromas. So you need something that's quite inert.
So a little bit of extra info there. The flashcard says it's easy to control the temperature, but you got that spot on. Question three, how might barrel aging be replicated cheaply in high-volume, inexpensive white wines?
Okay, so in this case, you're looking at chips and staves because they're cheap and there's more surface area. Like a barrel, only half the wood or less than half the wood is actually in contact with the wine. With a chip, you get 100% of the wood in contact, so it's a much more efficient. You need a lot less wood for the same level of oaking. And then oak barrels do two things. They can impart flavour. They also give a mild oxidation. So we're looking for micro-oxidation and chips and staves.
That's absolutely right. Again, you added a little bit extra information and you didn't mention the word inert. So it does need to be in an inert vessels.
Mm, Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, the question was, how might barrel aging be replicated?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah, yeah.
Using oak staves and chips in inert vessels.
Okay, I think you're being pedantic.
Yeah, but I am the quiz master, Chris.
I don't like it so much now.
Here's an easy one for you. Question four. Pesito means what?
Pesito is the process of drying grapes out once they've been harvested. So very common in Valpolicella and Suave as well for their sweet Suaves. And sherries.
Done, Chris.
And sherries. And sherries.
That's right. The drying of picked grapes to concentrate sugars. I think we'll give you that one, definitely. Question five. Why is Lees contact often used for premium Chardonnay and Pinot Gris? Very short answer, please, Chris.
Why? It's because they're...
In terms of the style.
Yeah, yeah. These wines don't have a lot of aromatic character, so what you're normally trying to do is build complexity in the wine. Texture and complexity.
Yep. The answer is give it a richer and rounder mouthfeel.
Yeah.
So I think with texture, you just got in there. not quite the flashcard answer. And finally in this round, in red winemaking, what is the cap?
The cap is the skin mass that floats up. So during fermentation, CO2 is released and that CO2 rises. And as it rises, it catches the little grape skins. And those grape skins rise with the CO2 and it forms a layer at the top. When you're making red wine, you usually want the skins in contact with the juice. So you get the cap and then you normally have to do something like plunging it down or pumping over or something to get the cap re-submerged so you can get that skin contact.
Nice work, Chris. Okay, on to round three, Santa's Speed Sips. This is a lightning round, Chris. So seven questions, quick fire. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, how many 175ml glasses can be poured from a 750ml bottle?
Four.
Correct. What species of grapevine is used to make most grapes for wine production?
Vitis vinifera.
Correct. Cultivar is another word for...
It's a grape variety.
Correct. A new vine from parents of the same species is known as a...
New variety. Say it again.
A new vine from parents of the same species is known as...
It's a new grape variety.
A crossing.
Oh, yeah. All right. A crossing, yeah.
During winter, vines are...
Dormant.
Correct. In winter, which part of the vine is most at risk during severe cold periods of less than 20 degrees Celsius?
Oh, that's the join between the rootstock and the scion at the top.
Or another name for it is the graft.
Graft, yeah.
What marks the start of the growing season?
Bud burst.
Correct. The temperature difference between summer and winter is known as what?
Continentality.
Correct. The difference between day and nighttime temperatures is known as?
Diurnal.
And finally, what are the two common styles of presses?
There's basket press and bladder press.
Or pneumatic press?
Pneumatic, yeah, yeah. It basically fills up a bladder inside a frame.
Correct. 10 out of 10.
Nice.
Well done, Chris. Okay, moving on, Chris. You now need to complete four levels of the Christmas wine gauntlet. And if you fail a level... And if you fail a level, well, I've no idea what we're going to do if that happens. So, Chris, buckle up.
Buckle up.
So, level one, the vineyard at North Pole, viticulture.
Okay.
Question one, a winemaking technique where wines are matured in contact with oxygen is called?
Oxidative.
I'll give you another chance. It's two words. First word begins with A.
Aerobic winemaking.
Aerobic maturation. Shall we give him that, listeners? I think he got there in the end. Let's proceed to question two. What type of vessels are used to store wines for aerobic maturation?
Well, they need to let air in, so it's usually oak.
Wooden oak barrels, correct. You're through to question three. What is a small barrel that holds 225 litres known as?
Oh, no, because there's barriques. And then there, well, no, it's a barrique. I can never remember. One's Bordeaux and one's Burgundy, and they're slightly different, but it's a barrique.
It is a barrique, correct. Well done. You've escaped frost risk and moved to level two, the winemaker's workshop or vinification. Question one, dead yeast and grape fragments suspended in the wine directly after fermentation is known as?
Oh, that's gross lees, mate.
It is really gross. Gross lees. Okay, question two. Is sedimentation a fast or slow process?
Oh, it's definitely slow. It takes a while, days. Gross lees comes out quite quickly, but the fine lees takes a long time.
And question three, how can you speed up sedimentation?
Well, the only way I can really think about that is maybe with a centrifugal force, so you spin it.
That is correct. By putting the wine into a centrifuge. That is correct. By putting the wine into a centrifuge, which I believe is quite expensive.
Yeah, it's basically a thing that spins, and because it's spinning, it's like when you're on a merry-go-round, it sort of pulls you out. Well, it pulls the heavy stuff to the outside of it, which means that the cleaner wine can just drain away.
I'm just having visions of you and Isabel on that fairground round when she was about 12. The faces on both of you. Right, and now there is a challenge card. This one is a little bit tricky. But the question is, what is RCGM?
Oh, no, that's easy. That is the rather catchy title for rectified concentrated grape must, which is grape juice that's had water removed. So it's super concentrated, and it's normally used as a sweetening component, say in Swiss Reserve for Germany, but it can sometimes be used before fermentation to add some higher alcohols.
That's correct, Chris. And it is apparently a colourless and odourless sweet syrup.
That's the idea anyway. It's supposed to come from grapes so that you can say, no, this wine is 100% from grape production, but they really just want the sugar from it.
You're still with us, Chris. We're moving on up to level three, the cellar of Christmas past. And this is a mixed bag. So question one, fill in the blanks. Winemaking starts with blank and ends with blank.
Winemaking starts with grapes and ends with wine.
Yoo-hoo!
Really? I was surprised by that.
Well done, obviously. Thought I might catch you out with that one, though.
Yeah.
Question two. What style of winemaking must have whole bunches from hand harvesting?
Well, there's two. So there's Beaujolais because it needs carbonic maceration, but there's also traditional method champagne production, which must use whole bunches as well.
The answer I'm looking for, I'm not sure if I can, I think I can put you through, is whole bunch fermentation.
So read the question again. That doesn't sound right.
What style of winemaking must have whole bunches from hand harvesting?
Yeah, okay.
You wrote them.
Yeah, but it's definitely the two styles that you want to think about is carbonic maceration, where you must have whole bunches, which is what we're talking about. But also champagne has to have whole bunches when you put them into the press.
Okay, I'm giving you a let. We're moving through to question three here. Give three European wine regions where steep slopes mean grapes can only be hand harvested. I want three European wine regions, and they are three different countries.
Okay, so the first one would be Mosel. That's well known for it.
I'm nodding here, correct.
The Douro Valley in particular is very steep.
Correct.
In Europe, you've got...
I'm looking for one more. I'm helping you out here.
No, I've got one. Northern Rhone is definitely there because you've got Hermitage and Cote Rôti, which are particularly steep.
You've hit the nail on the head, Chris.
So is it three you wanted?
It's three. You've done that. Douro Valley in Portugal, Mosel in Germany and Northern Rhone in France are three examples with steep slopes and hand harvesting. I'm a little bit sad because I haven't been able to use this very much at all, Chris. You're just doing too well.
Yeah.
But let's get on to our final round, the Elves Lightning Round. Seven quick fire questions. Fingers on the button, Chris.
Yep. Well, oh, yep. Yeah,
just jump in. What are the two types of European GIs?
PDOs, predicted designation of origin, and PGI, predicted geographical indicators.
Correct. What are the three levels of cru bourgeois?
Oh, you might have me on this one. Cru bourgeois. Well, there's cru bourgeois.
Correct.
There'll be cru bourgeois superior.
Correct. I'm brilliant, Chris. I'm brilliant. I'm so good at what I do. Cru bourgeois.
Boasting?
Cru bourgeois. Cru Bourgeois Exceptionnel.
Oh, I got that. I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. I get to use it. Next one. Which white wine AOC is located between River Jaron and Dordogne? Which white wine AOC is located between the River Jaron and Dordogne?
Okay, so we're in Bordeaux and it's between the two rivers, or between the two seas as it's known, Entre deux Mers.
Correct. What is the most common grape variety that is used in Madiran AOP blends?
Oh, okay, Madiran. So Madiran is in the southwest
quick
of
fire,
France.
Quick fire, Chris, quick fire.
Madiran is Tannet.
Correct. Where in Burgundy are the most important Pinot Noir vineyards located?
Côte d'Or. Well, yes. Yeah, so
next.
No. In my defence, Côte d'Or is divided up into Côte de Beaune and Côte de Nuit, with most of the really good reds in Côte de Nuit.
I did sort of think that when you said Côte de Nuit, but actually it is Côte d'Or. Which, okay. 39 villages in the north of Beaujolais have the right to blend wines labelled as which appellation?
Beaujolais Village.
Correct. Give the different aromas Chenin Blanc from the Loire can have from barely ripe to fully ripe. I want three different aromas.
Okay, so when it's barely ripe, you've got green flavours, and normally you use things like, I think green gauges is what, but I don't think that's in the syllabus. That's my descriptor for it. I'd be into green apples, perhaps. Fully ripe, you're looking at tropical fruits like pineapple, maybe, I don't know about mango, but pineapple. And then you've got stone fruits.
I'll stop you there. You've got the three. It's green/herbaceous, then moving into fresh apple, and then moving to tropical fruit for fully ripe.
Okay.
Next question. Which two climate-related risks are associated with southern France? We were there earlier this year, weren't we?
Yep. So you've got two. One is the Mistral that comes through and knocks things around, and the other risk is drought.
I've got two. I've got drought and summer floods.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but Mistral's pretty strong as well. Yeah, because when it rains, it really rains. Because what happens is most of the time there's three winds.
Quickfire.
Yeah.
What is the key grape variety in Valpolicella?
Corvina.
Correct. Where is the vast majority of Californian wine produced?
Central Valley.
Correct. And finally, what is the climate in Central Otago? I'm looking for three features.
Well, it's cool continental. So it's...
Correct.
It's got... Well, that's the climate. It's cool continental. But that cool continental gives you quite a lot of frost risk. Are you looking for risks or features?
Features.
Oh, okay. Cool continental, long days and intense sun.
I've got cool continental, intense sunshine and large diurnals. So,
large diurnals. It's got long days as well. I mean, when we were camping, it would be light at 10 o'clock at night in the middle of summer. So,
Chris, you passed. You did brilliantly. That completes our Christmas wine gauntlet.
Good. Do I get a prize?
Well, maybe you can cook Christmas dinner this year.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. This is our last podcast for the year. I hope you guys have had a good year. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you guys did very well as well.
Yep, thank you for joining us for our Christmas special. And I hope you have a wonderful time at Christmas. And remember, keep tasting and keep learning. From both of us,
cheers
and good drinking.